us to be his wonderful name. Is that your desire tonight? Amen. Thank you, musicians. I'd like to read from 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. We'll start at the 51st verse. I sure appreciate the Lord. The thought that the Lord put on our heart last first Sunday evening about the right approach and how there's really no one that we have a right to disrespect. And that if we take the right approach, we should expect the right results. And just it's a simple thought, but it's powerful too. It's the little things that are left undone many times. And, amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And then I'd like to read from Philippians, the 3rd chapter, verses 20 and 21. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body. And these bodies are vile. These bodies, we suffer humiliation in these bodies, don't we? We are humiliated by sickness, we're humiliated by temptation, we're humiliated by the decay of this world, but likewise our sacrifice was also humiliated and suffered that humiliation. And one day that humiliation will be taken away, that we may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. This life is our humiliation, but it's just for a season. This too shall pass. Amen. I'd like to title the thought here tonight, I Show You a Mystery. Let's bow our heads. Father, as we stand before you this evening, Lord, as we stand before those of like precious faith, the purchase of your blood, we just ask once again, Lord, that you would anoint our thinking, anoint our understanding, that you'd open our eyes, Lord, to the portion of the word that you would have us meditate on this evening, Lord, to take us through this week and the trials that lay ahead of us. We ask that your blessings be upon each and every one, Lord. We pray, Lord, that you'd be pleased with all that we say and do. And Father, we give you all praise and honor and glory. We love you and thank you now. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Amen, amen. You may be seated. Behold, I show you a mystery. Now, this has been touched on a couple of times already in song and in prayer this evening. So if there's any doubt whether we're on the right path, if there's ever a day when things are in a constant state of change, it's this day. In fact, there's a saying that the only thing that is constant is change. And the changes are accelerating as we speak. We have two great trees that were planted in the garden in the beginning. One is the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and of course the other is the tree of life. And both trees have spread their branches across the globe, and both are putting forth their fruits, and It's a time that Paul said that knowledge shall increase, and we see that it surely has and that it is. But not just knowledge from the tree of knowledge, but also knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is revelation to the elect seed of God. And both of these trees are associated with a cloud. One accesses knowledge that is stored in storage devices, and which are accessed via radio frequency waves of the fourth dimension. The other accesses revelation that's in the mind of Christ and is accessed supernaturally in heavenly places in the seventh dimension by those that have a supernatural ear to hear. And it's a time of great spiritual battles. And we know that Michael and Lucifer are fighting hot and heavy even as we speak. And their angels are battling one against the other. The greatest battle ever fought is taking place even as we speak. It's a time of confusion in many churches. And it's a time when a famine has swept across the land. Not just a famine, but there's plenty of food, but there's a famine for the hearing of the word. And it's such a deceitful time, and so much confusion everywhere. And the enemy is the architect of that tactic, and he's using that tactic so that people will just throw up their arms and not knowing who to believe, not knowing what to believe. Every authority is being questioned. Every authority is being challenged. Every authority is being criticized, so that man is getting to the place where he's deciding himself what to believe. Trust is in very, very short supply. But we are told by the word that things would be this way at the end time. So we're not surprised. It was prophesied that it would be this way. And the prescription that was written to combat that situation is to only believe. Only believe the word. So Brother Branham tells us a story about a hunting trip that he was on one time, and where the weather conditions were they had gotten so bad that he could only see a few feet in any particular direction. And he was at a favorite hunting spot called Hurricane Mountain. And the conditions would change every now and then as the winds blew and as the snow scattered, to where he could get little glimpses of the mountain every now and then. And he was looking for a landmark that he would recognize, because if he could find a landmark, well, then he could set his direction from that landmark and move ahead. And friends, I'm thankful tonight that there are certain landmarks that clearly appear in the message of the hour, so that we know exactly where we're at, we know where we're going, we know where we came from. And there are certain statements, which we call quotes, statements for the church, and we want to be sure that we don't move these statements around, because they're landmarks. They are what give us the right direction for the church to proceed in. Some are looking for pressure to come upon the church, and they're believing that when this pressure comes, that somehow it's going to bring more unity into the church. But if there's no unity among the people now, more pressure is just going to cause further division. It's not going to bring unity. So we know that pressure isn't what the elect seed of God need to bring unity among them. We know that Brother Branham made a few statements earlier in the ministry that spoke of a persecution and a squeeze, but we also know that revelation is progressive, and we also know that a corner was turned after the seals came open, and there was a more perfect understanding of the difference between the church and the bride. After the book was opened, we find that the bride goes through her judgment when she comes face to face with the word of God for her hour. And when she comes to this great feast that Paul speaks of in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, where Paul says, when you come to this feast, he says, purge out the old leaven. Don't come with the leaven of malice and this and that and the other, because you're coming to a feast, and a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump, so just a little bit will cause the whole thing to be contaminated, right? When you come to this feast, purge all of that out, and this feast is where we're at tonight. It's the opening of the Word, and we can't bring man's ideas, we can't bring old thinking, we can't bring old church ways. It all has to be purged out. So the bride is being purged as she's coming to this great feast. She's being purged of the old thinking of the church for the last 2,000 years, the unbelief that had been perpetrated since the church began to fall in the first church age. All of that has to be purged out. And we know that the foolish virgin, she will go through a tribulation period for her purging, but not the bride. So we want to look at that here for just a moment, for a few moments here tonight. Brother Brown says, now, the first thing that will take place will be the coming of the bride. There will be people in the world. He says, you might get a little different with this, but listen close. Just because you accepted Christ as personal Savior, that doesn't mean you're going in the rapture. That's for the elect that'll go in the rapture. There will be a remnant left here on the earth that'll go through the persecution and the great tribulation. The church will be caught up in the rapture. The church will be caught up in the rapture. There'll be a remnant left here on the earth that'll go through a persecution and a great tribulation. The church will be caught up in the rapture. And again, from the Feast of the Trumpets, he says, you say the church has to go through persecutions for the perfection of it? The blood of Jesus Christ perfects the bride. A man who chooses a wife, he don't put her through a lot of punishment. He's already found grace too with her. She has found grace with him. He engages to her. And if there's anything, he'll keep her from every place to turn her hand. His grace is so great upon them. So we're not looking for the bride to go through a persecution. We're not looking for a bride to go through the judgment. What does she have to be judged for? That's for the foolish virgin. Again, I hope I can get a few more amens before this is over, because this is very, very important. Questions and answers. Brother Branham, will the bride go through the persecution as the early apostolic church did? No. I just explained that a few minutes ago. No. Next thing is a rapture now. Remember, we're at the promised land, we're at the border. You understand the march of Israel. I've got several statements that we're going to read tonight, because we want to take it, you know, we don't want to just take any thought. We want to take, we want the whole picture, and we want to make sure that we have the right image before us, that we have the right marker before us. Again, Brother Brown says, now, this is my own thoughts, minister brethren, in my own way that I feel the Holy Spirit has revealed to me. Now, the next thing to happen is the Jewish or the Gentile elected bride to be caught up with the rest of the Gentile elected bride that's been down through the ages, be caught up in the presence of Christ in the heavens. The dead raises, the ones that are alive and remain is changed. They're caught up together in the air to meet the Lord. So it matters what we're looking for tonight. Because what you look for is what you're going to make preparations for, right? So if we accept tonight that the next thing to come is pressure, well, we're not going to make ourselves ready for the rapture, because we will be looking for pressure to come along to make us ready for a rapture. And we will accept that there doesn't need to be any unity of the Spirit in the local church, let alone in the mystical body, because we believe pressure is what will bring it. And if that's what we are looking for, and if that's what we are waiting for, we will miss the change of the body. And we will miss the rapture. And we will miss the meeting of the air. And we will miss the wedding supper of the Lamb and the Lamb's wife. So to go in the rapture, friends, we need to be in the atmosphere for a rapture. And we need to be looking at the right landmark. We need to know where we're at in order to see where we're going next. Again, in Abraham's covenant, confirmed, Brother Branham says, not one thing did he promise Abraham. Not one thing did he do to Abraham, but what he's done or give to the church except one thing, the change of the body. Again, in the true Easter seal, he says the same thing that he's going to do next after that. Remember, after the sign was manifested fully to Abraham and his group, then the next thing come was that change. We saw the sign of the Messiah that Abraham saw when he says, "Where is thy wife Sarah?" in the tent behind you. Abraham and Sarah saw the sign of the Messiah, and then the next thing to come was a change. And Brother Branham says the same thing he's going to do next after that. Remember, after that sign was fully manifested to Abraham and his group, the next thing to come was change. As it was in the days of Sodom, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. We see that taking place right now. What's the next thing? The change of the body. Now, we are looking for an expected son. Glory. Is that right? We cannot meet him in these bodies. If we are changed back to young men and women, still we can't meet him because we have to meet him in the air. There has to be something done besides change us back to young men and women. We got to be changed and caught up in the air to meet him. And the next thing coming is the rapture of the church and the change of the body of the sleeping saints to meet the Lord Jesus in the air. That's what we're looking for. That's what our expectation is. It could happen tonight. There's nothing else that has to happen. And we need to be looking for that. And if that's what we're looking for, you'll see it in our lives. You'll see it in our approach. You'll see it in the things that we're focused on. We're looking for a body change. What are we looking for? A body change. Again, from "And knoweth it not." Let's think of the Laodicean church age and its condition today. As far as I know, I can't see anything to hinder at this time the coming of the Lord Jesus outside of the readiness of his church. So the scripture doesn't show anything else that needs to happen in order for the change of the body to take place. In other words, we're not waiting for something else to happen first. And we aren't missing anything in order for that to take place this evening. We know that there is a last one that will come in. But we aren't waiting for that either. Because we have no way of knowing when that last one will come in. Perhaps it's already happened. We don't know. We want to preach like it hasn't happened, of course. Because if it hasn't happened, there's still some to come that need to hear the word just as we have heard it and to be changed by it. But we should be living in the expectation tonight of a body change. That's where our focus ought to be. That's where our mind, our thought pattern ought to be, is the change. And you can tell who's looking for the change and who's not. Friends, if the change could happen this evening, and it can, and then there shouldn't be any fusses or stews. If I expect the change to happen tonight, what would I allow to get in the way? What would I allow to set me back? That's all the devil just trying to distract. There's nothing undone that you would leave undone for another day. You take care of it today because you know a change is upon us. There shouldn't be shifting congregations. There shouldn't be divisions. There shouldn't be doubts. There shouldn't be debates. There shouldn't be going by feelings and knowing one another after the flesh. We should be looking for a change in the body. There should be an urgency for each and every member to make itself ready so that the unity of the faith can manifest and so that the mind of Christ can have preeminence in the body. There should be a ministry that is so close to the headstone, as Brother Branham said there would be, that it will unite the head to the body in every local church. There should be a cry, "Even so, Lord, come quickly." There should be an anticipation. There should be an expectation of a change. The church should be in an expectation of a change of a body tonight, friends. One more sweep of a great outpouring of the Holy Ghost to come through to change our bodies all at once, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. Again, Laodicean church age. Now let me say this. Can anyone prove any of these visions wrong? Were they not all fulfilled? Yes, each one has been fulfilled or is in the process right now. Again, Feast of the Trumpets. He says, it's a mystery that it's to be revealed now in this day by the Son of Man. See, the evening message. See, turn back. And that's what the last sign they seen was, that discernment before the change of the body come. The trumpet sounded for Israel. The two prophets is ready to appear. What is it? The church must get off the scene right now so that they can appear. He can't deal with two at the same time. He never did, see? So in order for him to deal with Israel, the church has to be gone. He's talking about the bride, the elect. Friends, we know that our leaders have said here recently that we are closer to Armageddon now than we were during the Missile Cuban crisis in November of 1962. We were very close then. And we see, it's easy for us to see that tribulation was held back then because the book had not come open yet. It wouldn't come open for another 4 months until March of 1963. So the four angels were holding back the four winds of war. It was held back so that you and I could take the book out of the hands of the mighty angel of the covenant and eat that little book and become one with that little book. Lest I smite the earth with a curse, he says. So I believe tonight, Brother Henry, there's a generation that's on the earth that will not hinder the coming of the Lord. There's a church on the face of the earth tonight where he doesn't have somewhat against thee, as there was to every other church age. There's a generation that will not hinder the coming of the Lord. The war in Europe is escalating every single day. When it started out, well, we're just going to give them ammunition. We're just going to give them missiles. We're just going to give them this and that. We're certainly, oh, that would cross a threshold if we started giving them anti-missiles and tanks and aircraft, right? Where are we at tonight? We've given them all that. Now there's Patriot missile installations that are being put there to shoot down missiles. We said we wouldn't do that. That would be a red line that we wouldn't cross. There it is. We said we wouldn't give them tanks. We're giving them tanks now. We said we wouldn't give them aircraft. We're talking about giving them aircraft now. Where are we at? It's just escalating. We've got a guy that's being backed into a corner in his own country, in a totalitarian country, and you push him too hard, you don't know what's going to happen. He's even threatened to push a button. He's even threatened to use nuclear devices, right? So we are closer tonight to nuclear war than we were in 1962. And things can escalate even further overnight. I'm glad that we have a shelter for us to, a place of safety tonight, friends. A secret place that even atomic power cannot reach to. Second-handed robe. Brother Bram said, I'm so glad that we have a shelter. The name of the Lord is a mighty tower. The righteous run into it and are safe. No matter how many bombs or how many anything else, we're safe there. So the world and the sinner, not having this shelter or this safety place, it's a shaking time. I believe if I wasn't a Christian, I'd go crazy to thinking of what might happen at any time. And with a house full of little kitties and everything, I wouldn't know what to do. But I'm so glad that I can stand in my house and introduce them to a shelter that no bomb could ever touch. Or nothing else, under the protecting wings of the Lord Jesus, Not by power, not by might, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. See, that is our protection. Blessed be his wonderful name. Again, Brother Brand says, remember, if this earthly tabernacle be dissolved, we have one already waiting, quoting Paul. Don't be scared of hydrogen bombs or no other thing. As long as you got Christ in your heart, that's the best bomb shelter that I know of. It's made out of feathers. Under his wings, we will abide. So don't worry about those things if you're a Christian. And the church says, I'm so thankful, friends, to have a direction from the word of this hour. I'm so thankful that we have landmarks to point us to and to point us in the right direction. We don't approach this lightly. I'm not just counting on this for myself, but I've got family that's looking to me for direction. And I've got a church that's looking to me for the right direction. So I don't care if somebody says, well, the truck is over here or the truck is over there. Well, that's fine for them maybe, but I've got landmarks that I can look to that says, no, go this way. Don't turn to the right or left. Don't look for this. Don't look for that. Don't look at blood moons and whatever other distractions that we might have. Those things are okay, but those are not what I'm looking. Those are not the landmarks that have been placed here for us to refer to. We have the token tonight, friends, and it's the greatest bomb shelter that there is. Somebody say, praise the Lord. And I stand at the door and knock. Brother Branham says, it was upon my heart a few days ago as I told Brother Neville or sent word to him by our sister Wood that I was going to speak this morning on the handwriting on the wall. It was a message the Lord gave me on the train coming back from California. But in the message, it was so stirring and such an hour until leaving the people, finding the great things, even to this modern Sputnik that you hear so much about, is revealed in God's word. And to see the hour that we're living in, we are surely at the end. And then to leave the people in that condition, and then without bringing another message to follow it, to give hopes to the church, then leaves the people kind of wondering and makes them nervous. So I thought I would wait till next Sunday coming back, and then I would speak on the handwriting on the wall Sunday morning, and then Sunday night speak on the church rapturing before the tribulation. And then if these things are so close at hand, then the rapture is closer than that is if the church goes in the tribulation. So I'm sure you understand that it does, he says. So in the morning, he says, he's going to preach handwriting on the wall. So in the morning, in the week coming, he doesn't want to bring that message and then leave everybody hanging. He says, so I'll wait till the next week. In the morning, I'm going to preach judgment, the handwriting on the wall. But in the evening time, I'm going to preach a message of change and a message of rapture and a message of hope. A message of judgment wasn't preached for me. Now, you can wait for a squeeze all you want. You can look for other signs all you want, but I'm looking for a change. I heard a message of a change. And I heard a message of a rapture. And I'm saying here this evening, friends, hey, that's speaking to me. Amen. That's speaking of me. Hallelujah. We know that before destruction can take place, there has to be a bride that's hid safely in Christ and will be changed and will be taken from this earth. She's hid right now. Brother Branham says, and speak to this mountain, but as the queen ran through and said, don't be troubled, there's a man who can understand the supernatural. And oh Lord, we're so glad that there's one in our midst tonight, the Holy Spirit, the supernatural. And you're calling a church in the realms of the supernatural. The Sputniks in the sky, all these things show destructions at hand. And then we are taught that the church shall go before the tribulation. Noah went into the ark before the rain fell. The angel said to Lot, come hither, for I can do nothing until you come out. Oh Lord, the church shall go before that time. And when we see the handwriting on the wall, the Sputnik sailing the earth around and the world in a quaking condition, how close is the rapture of your church then? They must go hither before anything can be done. And the church says, friends, we are called out of the world. We're called out of the systems. And we are called out of the world. Just change one letter and we're called into the Word. And that Word is changing me from glory to glory to glory. And one day it's going to change my mortal body. Temporary healing that's taking place now is showing us that there's a complete, total, and permanent healing that's about to take place in human bodies. How close are we tonight? I ask you. This Word comforts me tonight. This Word gives me strength tonight. This Word gives me rest and peace tonight. I didn't say cruise control. In fact, it causes me to press that much more. The only comfort that I can find in this hour, friends, is in the Word. I can't find it anywhere else, and I'm not looking for it anywhere else. I'm not looking for a better church. I'm not looking for better people. I'm not looking for a better job. I'm not looking for better weather. I'm not looking for a better economy. I'm not looking for a better retirement program. I'm looking for the Word to change me from glory to glory to glory. There will be a tribulation period. There will be. And God has a purpose in bringing that tribulation. God does everything for a purpose. Listen to this from Thy House in Tifton, Georgia. Brother Brown reads a question. When the rapture takes place, will all believers' families, wife, and children go? They are in faith and trust in Jesus Christ as Lord? Yes. Yes. Will all the family go in the rapture? See? Yes. See? Now, if you notice, the rapture is going to be a universal thing. Now, friends, here's mothers wondering, you know, I've got a nursing baby. If I go in the rapture, does the baby stay in the crib? No, the baby will go with you. The baby will go in the rapture. You don't have to be old to go in a rapture. Your baby can go also. The tribulation, friends, is to purge the foolish virgin. It's to purge. It's for three things. It's to purge the foolish virgin. It's to purge the 144,000 remnant of the Jews. And it's to purge the earth under the sixth seal. You won't find the bride under the tribulation. You won't find the bride under the sixth seal. What would be the purpose? What does she have to be purged from? She is spotless. She has been made perfect in Him. Listen to this. This is from the fourth seal. Now, we had symbols, and we probed at it, and we've done very good sometimes, but we know it's moved right on. But now, in the last days, we can look back and see where it has been, and that is supposed to be done at the end of the church age, just before the rapture. How anyone can get the church going through tribulation, I don't know. What's it got to go through tribulation for when it hasn't got a sin? I mean, I don't mean the church. The church will go through the tribulation, but I'm talking about the bride. The bride won't, no. No, it hasn't got a sin against it at all. It's done been bleached out. And there's not even a smell of it. There's nothing left. They are perfect before God. So what's any tribulation to purify them, but the others do? The church does go through the tribulation, but not the bride. Now, we're just taking it in all the kind of symbols now. Like the church, Noah carried over type and went out into sin. See, now they did go over, but Enoch went first. Where was the squeeze on Enoch? Enoch walked with God and he was not. That was the type of the saints that would go in before the tribulation period. Again, from the sixth seal. And we're living in a terrific time. The time, you see these things that we're in now, that we're studying right now. Friends, I've studied this and studied it and studied it, and I'm careful. I'm going to have to answer for everyone that believes this as we're bringing it from the message, right? If you want to go ahead and be a pastor and see yourself through, go right on ahead. But I'm going to give an account, so I am careful. I'm a careful puzzle builder. I don't force things, even if they look like they go together. But this fits. We're living in a terrific time. You see these things that we're in now, that we're studying right now, is after the church is done gone. He's speaking about all the horrible things that are going to take place under the sixth seal. These things are the tribulation period. And I think it ought to be truly settled in every believer's heart that this church never takes the tribulation period. You put the church there, but not the bride. The bride's gone on, see? She has not one sin, not a thing against her. The grace of God has covered her over, and the bleach has took away every sin so far away there's not even a remembrance of it. Nothing but purity, perfect in the presence of God. Oh, it ought to make the bride get down on her knees and cry out to God. Hallelujah. God hiding himself in simplicity. He preaches this in Albuquerque. He says, no good teacher believes that the church, the bride, the church goes through the tribulation, but not the bride. The church goes through for purification. Sure. Under the sixth seal. Right. Israel does the same thing for the 144,000, but not the bride. The bride is forgiven. She goes straight into glory in a rapture. That's right. She, my opinion, the last member will be caught up one of these days. It might come, and you wouldn't know nothing about it. You wouldn't know nothing about it. Remember, it's a secret catching away. He'll come in an hour that you think not. You won't know nothing about it. She'll be gone, and it'll be too late then. Well, I thought, and I was waiting for. You know, it's pathetic. I can see where the devil would use that as a distraction. Because if people are believing, well, it's going to take pressure to get us together. Well, what that means is there's no way we can get together. There's no way we can have unity. There's no way we can have the unity of the faith in the body because pressure hasn't come yet. And it's going to take pressure. Friends, we had pressure here, right? Did that cause unity? No, it caused more division. That's not going to bring you together. What's going to bring you together is you crying out to the Lord and saying, Lord, purge me, change me, make me like you. I surrender, Lord. I submit to you. Be it unto me according to thy word. Hallelujah. Amen. There's going to be a group of people. I'll mark my word. There'll be a group of people that will say, I thought. Well, that's what you get for thinking. Again, in the first seal, how can a man say that the bride of Christ goes into the tribulation? I can't understand it, see? She took away from the tribulation. If the church has been judged, and they have judged themselves, and have accepted the blood, how can God judge a man that's perfectly, totally sinless? You say there's no such person. Every born-again believer, truly true believer, is perfectly, absolutely sinless before God. He's not trusting in his works. In the blood of Jesus that his confession is dropped into, the Bible says so. See, he that's born of God does not commit sin, for he cannot sin. That's 1 John. How can you make a man a sinner when the bleach of the blood of Jesus Christ is between him and God that would scatter sin till there be nothing left of it? See, how can that pure blood of Christ ever let a sin pass there? It cannot. Jesus said, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. And how could we even start the thought of being perfect? But Jesus required it. And if Jesus required it, he's got to make a way for it. And he has his own blood. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So the word says, I have not one thing against you. Now that's either true or it's not, friends. We aren't under a church age that he has something against. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee. to each church age, till it gets to our church age and he has everything against the church. But he doesn't have one thing against the bride. There's nothing left of that sin. God doesn't remember it. It was put into the sea. Oh, we might remember. The devil might try to remind us, but God doesn't remember it. There's nothing to point to. He looks at our sins and he's plunged them into the sea of his forgetfulness. Now, friends, I'm not preaching tonight to those that need to be kept clean by legalism. And we were all in that phase at one time. But he didn't leave us in that phase. We stayed there until we died out completely to ourselves. And then he quickened that word. He quickened your soul. Let me just say it like this. Your soul is the word. If you are born again of the Spirit of God, your soul is the word. He quickens that word. He quickens that soul that's in this flesh. And then he comes in and he pours his spirit into that soul. And then he puts his seal upon it, telling Satan and the angels, you cannot break this seal. You cannot come past this. This is a boundary. This is my finished word. It's perfect. It's spotless. It's without blemish. It's my work. It's my creation. I put my seal upon it. I paid the price for this soul. And I put my seal upon it. And I've left you once again, Satan. I've left you standing on the outside. Once again. You will never come into this temple. You will never, this temple that's not made with hands, you will never enter into it. I reserved this for myself. I paid for it. I purchased it. I fashioned it. It's to my specifications. This is now my headquarters here on the earth. And it's hidden from you. You can't come in here. And Satan, you're not going to keep this soul in this dimension. And you're not going to keep the elements that make up the body that's united, that will unite with this soul. You have no jurisdiction over those elements either. I claim the earth with my blood that makes up their body. Satan says, but. God says, just show me the proof, Satan. Satan goes to look for it. It's gone. There's no evidence. Your sin was put on Christ. He paid the price. Then it was put into the sea of his forgetfulness. Who can lay a charge to the elect of God? In the time of trouble, he shall hide me. Where is he hidden me? In him. I'm hidden and revealed in the word. He found me at the evening time. Just as Eliezer found Rebekah in the evening time. And he prepared my heart, friends. He prepared my heart to meet my Isaac. And he sent me a ride so that I could go to meet him. The prophet rode in on the Holy Ghost. And I'm going to ride out on the very same thing that he rode in on. I appreciate the gifts that he sent. I don't look down on him. I'll take whatever he sent. I greatly appreciate it, but I want the giver first and foremost. I want to go out to meet him. And so I'll water that Holy Ghost so that it will take me to my Isaac. And I'll meet him in the field. In other words, I'll meet him in the air. It's not where I live and it's not where he lives. It's somewhere in between. I will take God's provided ride to that meeting in the air. Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. The power of the Holy Ghost will take me to that meeting in the air. So just as Joseph's bride was in the palace. Oh, friends, there are just so many types that we could go through. Perhaps we'll go through it again at another time. Just as Joseph's bride was in the palace when he revealed himself to his brethren, so will the bride of Christ be in heavenly places in the palace as he's coming to reveal himself to the Benjamin group, the remnant of Israel. In the junction of time, Brother Brown says, now, Heavenly Father, we're not too much to begin with, Lord. We just come here because you spoke us into existence. You spoke us into existence. You spoke us into existence. You fed us. You kept us. We who have accepted you are very thankful, Lord, to know this, that someday we're going to be changed. This old vile body of humiliation that we live in will be changed and fashioned and made like unto your body. Growing older is humiliating. You think, well, that won't happen to me. I'm just going to stay sharp and I'll just this and I'll just that. But the gears just start slipping and things just start happening. And you want to explain, well, it wasn't like that yesterday. Sorry, that won't happen again. No, that and something else will happen. The old vile body of humiliation that we live in, it gets more humiliating as time goes on, will be changed and fashioned and made like unto your body. We rest safely in this ark. And by the word this morning, by the Holy Spirit that he has brought to the people, the signpost, we're at the end, the change. Signs and wonders are appearing. Great things are taking place. We know, Lord, that we're at the end. That's why these things are coming here. Most any time, we shall see the Lord coming. He was in expectation of that when he was here. Again, Jehovah Jireh, he says, let every aged man and woman tonight, as they toddle out of this building or this tent, as you come out of your tent, from an old man to be turned to a young, an old woman to be turned to a young, beautiful woman again, God, let know that someday we're going to go out of this tent, this dwelling place, the tabernacle of our humiliation, and we're going to be changed. We're going to step over on another land where it's purity. And when our feet first touches that blessed land, when the old ship of Zion blows for landing, we'll rush out. It's going to be all over then. Sickness and cripples and afflictions, everything will be gone. Old age, death, sorrow, all these natural things that was caused by the curse will be gone forevermore. We'll be changed. We'll be turned right back. That's the way you did to Abraham. Just spoke one into existence. I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. There's not one more thing that needs to happen. There's not one more scripture that needs to be fulfilled. The bride is ready. She's made herself ready. What made her ready is eating this word and becoming one with it. Amen? Being born again, completely born again, not just in the flesh realm, not just in the spirit realm, but in the soul. Amen. Passing from death unto life. Amen. His life coming down on the inside of the inside, the head coming to unite with the body. Friends, it's going home time. It's time to, we should be looking for a change. And if we're looking for a change, we don't have time for nonsense. We don't have time for distractions. We don't have time for feelings and worrying about the news, or right? We'll pick this up again perhaps next Wednesday. There are many, many other quotes, friends. Before one bomb drops, she'll be caught into glory. Why would he allow a bomb to be dropped on his bride? Listen, judgment comes when grace, when mercy is spurned. So when the last one accepts that mercy and that grace and is changed, well, it's time to go. And that which is left, let what's filthy remain filthy, what's clean remain clean. There'll be a purging. They will give their lives. They won't live for the word right now, but they'll die for it in the tribulation period. They're going to get something. They won't get what you have, but they're going to get something to carry them through. They'll die a martyr's death, right? But you won't be here. Friends, if it's going to be like a thief coming in the middle of the night, where Brother Branham says that time and time again, he says, It could happen and the world won't even know that it happened. Well, if we're looking for some other sign, well, then the world would be, the church world would be looking for something. We've been given our last sign. That's another quote. The sign of the Messiah. There's nothing left. There's nothing left. There's nothing left. There's nothing left but the coming of the Lord. Amen. Let's stand tonight. Behold, I show you a mystery. Amen. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Let's bow our heads. Father, we're so thankful to have the unfailing body word of the Son of Man tonight. We're so thankful that we have these signposts, that we have these markers. We're so thankful, Lord, that your word points us in the right direction and keeps us looking. If we're pressing toward the mark, we have to know where the mark is. If we're looking for signs of the times, we have to know what signposts to look at. We have to know where we're at. We have to know where we're going. We have to know what's ahead of us, what's behind us. And Lord, I don't believe for a moment that you would allow your prophet to make all of these statements and many, many more. We're just touching just a few of them here tonight. To make all of these statements, if there's yet something else that we got to hang out and wait for. We know that there are those that don't see the full opening of the word, and so they believe that your prophet has to come back and preach some things that they can't see, but Lord, we see it. Our eyes have been opened. There's nothing more that needs to be brought. We believe that rapturing faith is here. We believe that faith is in the body. We believe, Lord, that you will operate it. You will put it into action at one moment, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. If it was left up to us, then we might have some early birds here. We might have some that would disappear sooner than others because they would operate it sooner, but this isn't left. That change, that last change, it's not in our hands, it's in your hand. So, Lord, we're in expectation. You could come at any moment in time. And, Lord, that should be our expectation. If that's my expectation tonight, then before I go to bed, I need to make sure that it is well, that there's nothing left undone, that there's nothing that I want to wake up tomorrow saying I should have dealt with that the day before. May tomorrow be another day. May tomorrow be another opportunity for a body change. May tomorrow be another day to walk with you. Lord, the pattern is just so clear. We see that Enoch walked with you, and then one day you just said, why don't you just keep coming over? Well, you're already over here. Why don't you just take another step? We don't see anything else that was necessary. Enoch didn't have to be pressured or pushed. In fact, Enoch was taken off the scene before the flood. And Father, we know that that Noah's group types the foolish virgin. We know that they were carried over. They went through the flood, but they were carried over it. But Enoch wasn't even there. Father, we know that Abraham, there wasn't. You communed with him. You gave him that last sign. And the next thing that took place was a change. Sarah's body was turned back. Abraham's body was turned back. They brought forth the promised son. Father, we're not looking for any other signs. You've given us the last sign, which is the sign of the Messiah. The third pull is on. And Lord, we're looking for a great sweep to come across the land. It'll come all at once. We're looking for the dead in Christ to show up in the streets. But Father, I hesitate to say that tonight because if we're not looking for you, we won't see the dead in Christ appearing in the streets. So I don't want people thinking, well, I'll wait until we see the dead in Christ and then I'll start getting ready. You won't be part of that. You won't see the dead in Christ if you're not going in that rapture. You've got to be looking for His coming. You need to look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. You need to look to the heavens, not to the earth. Don't take your cues from this life. Don't take your cues from the world. Don't look at what this one's doing or that one's doing or this one's saying. Make sure that you're united with Him. Make sure that you're sealed to the day of your redemption. It's not a time to presume. It's not a time to hope. It's certainly not a time to play church. It's a time, it's a uniting time. It's a time to surrender. It's a time to put that token life on display. We know that there'll be a short, fiery, quick work. We know that there'll be a manifestation. There already is a manifestation of sons of God that's taking place the world over. Signs and wonders, the same work that you did 2,000 years ago are now being done in a many-membered body. We see the dead raised. We see miracles, healings, deliverance, signs and wonders. Lord, the next thing we're looking for is that gathering together, that change to come, then that gathering together in a meeting in the air. May our eyes not look to the right or left. May our eyes look to the sheet music here tonight, Lord. And may our eyes be upon the conductor as the conductor looks and gives us a signal to make this sound or that sound. It's not by our leading. It's not by somebody else's leading. It's by You, Lord. You're the great conductor. And I'm so thankful tonight, Lord, that You've plainly made these things known to Your children. Father, may we keep our eye on the goal. May we live each day as if it's our last day, because one of these days will be our last day. What a hope, what a blessed hope here tonight, Lord. What an encouragement. That's one of the things that keeps us going. Lord, we've seen some horrible things that we've went through. We've seen trials that different ones have went through, and they're hard and they've been painful, but Lord, we know that every one of those trials is for a purpose. We know each and every one of those is bringing a character into development in Your bride body that could come no other way. It's the only way that faith can be proven and tested, and we know that it's bringing us closer and closer to a change. To a change of not just one individual, but a mystical body that's upon the face of the earth here tonight. Father, may we not be focused on what others are saying, what the government is saying, what Russia is saying, what the church nominal is saying. But may we, our ears be tuned to hear Your voice. Your voice alone. Father, I pray with all of my heart, Lord. I pray, Lord, that a desperation would break out in this body for those that, Lord, they've experienced Your Spirit on their flesh. They're justified by faith. They've experienced Your Spirit moving upon their spirit, perhaps. You've given them a new spirit that can get along with Your Spirit, but Your anointing is yet leading. And Lord, in that realm, if we're walking in that second work of grace, sanctification, Your Spirit speaks to our minds just as an evil spirit can speak to our minds. And we have to decide whether we're going to believe You, or we're going to believe the devil, or we're going to believe somebody else, or we're going to believe what we think. So we're hearing many voices. One of them is Yours. And if we continue to follow that voice will lead us further. Lord, Cain and Abel, they both stood together and gave a sacrifice. But Lord, I thought it was interesting as I was meditating on that today. We hear about a conversation that You had with Abel. We don't hear about that same conversation with we hear about a conversation that you had with Cain. We don't hear about a similar a conversation that you had with Abel. And yet we know that you had a conversation with him. Because we read in the New Testament, by faith, Abel gave a more excellent sacrifice than his brother Cain. And the only way that he could do that is that you talked to him. You revealed it to him. That's you speaking in that supernatural realm to that gene seed down on the inside in the soul. Cain can't hear that voice. He that hath an ear, let him hear. Blessed are your ears, for they hear, your eyes that they see. So it's not even recorded what that conversation was that you had with Abel. Yet we know you had a conversation with him because he gave the right sacrifice and then you came and confirmed it with fire, the Holy Ghost and fire. On the other hand, we know that Cain couldn't hear that voice in the soul, but he could hear it intellectually. He could act on intellectual faith, which is you speaking to his mind and him believing it and taking you at your word. You telling him, do this, and that'll happen. And if he'd have done that, well, what you said would have happened. But he chose not to listen even to the Spirit's leading in the spirit realm. Father, we believe that there's a church on the earth tonight, a mystical body church, Lord, that is hearing. That is the third point. They are hearing your word. It is being revealed to them. It's not a public show. It's not being explained to the intellect as everything else has been explained. But you're teaching yourself from behind the veil. You're revealing your word, Lord, as we've been seeing in this Bible study, as we've been going through it. The most important thing, the thing that means the most to a believer, is revelation. And Lord, only your elect can receive revelation. And your elect can receive it without the baptism of the Holy Ghost. We know Peter did, and he hadn't received the baptism yet. So even before coming to a full birth, my sheep hear my voice, know my voice, a deep calling to the deep. Father, I pray, that's been a focal point of this ministry over the last 30 years, and it will be, Lord, until the door closes, and we don't know when that door will close. But Lord, we've seen so many that will come to the first work of grace, the second work of grace, the first pull and the second pull. But Lord, they stopped short of being quickened and your spirit coming down into that soul, putting that token on display, putting that life on display. And Lord, it's not possible for someone to know even what I'm talking about here tonight if you haven't come down into that third realm. But Lord, if there's something that's pulling on the heart, something that's speaking to the heart, if there's a desire, you said, blessed are they that hunger and thirst, for they shall be filled. I pray, Lord, that they'll not stop at anything short of you speaking to them, making yourself real to them, coming down on the inside of the inside, quickening that gene. We know, Lord, that's the secret place. We know that's the place where we are hidden in you and you in us. We know that that's, Lord, that's the place that the enemy doesn't know anything about. The enemy can't touch. The enemy can't impersonate. And Lord, only with the life in that place will we go in that rapture. And so, Lord, we want to just be that broken record here tonight. In every opportunity that we get, I know tonight, Lord, that there's further that some people can come. I know, Lord, that there are some that are still struggling with sanctification. if that's where we're at in our journey, and we were all there at one point, so it's not a criticism. But if that's where we're at, we've got further to go. There's a further dying out. There's a desperation. There has to be a cry down in the soul. Slay me, Lord. Change me, Lord. Change me on the inside. When that change takes place on the inside, I'll know that there's a change waiting for me on the outside. My spirit will then bear witness with your spirit that I am a son of God, or I am a daughter of God. My spirit will be able to call you the Christ, because your word says, except we have the Holy Spirit, we cannot call you the Christ. So Lord, may there just be a humility and a brokenness, Lord. We don't know. You could come tonight. But Lord, even if I knew you were coming tonight, I'd still preach the same thing. Because I don't know when the last ones come in. I do know, Lord, that there are some that can come further. And it's our desire, it's our prayer, it's our urgent desire, Lord. That'll stop all the people troubles and the ups and the downs and the ins and the outs, as we looked at here a week ago. That'll settle us in. That'll cause the amens to come from the depths of the soul. That'll cause us to stay with every word, to say amen to every word. For without your spirit, we couldn't say amen to every word. It must be revealed to us. So Lord, we stand here once again. And Lord, our hearts go out. And Lord, our heart's desire, Lord, is for every single one, Lord, to surrender and say, Lord, fill me. Change me from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet. Make me ready for this change that's just around the corner. It could be at any time. Maybe quit looking at the calendar. Maybe quit marking time. Maybe recognize the desperation of this hour. When I say desperation, I mean it's decision time. It's uniting time and signs. It's a time for the Spirit and the Bride to say the same thing. It's time to discern both of the spirits within the framework of the church and to withstand that Antichrist spirit. It's time for us to walk in every divine promise. Lord, I believe we're living below our privileges in this local fellowship here tonight. I am so thankful for all the things that you've done and that you're doing. But I believe, Lord, that you've promised us more. And I believe, Lord, that if we just get our sights on the right thing, get our sights on the goal and surrender, I believe, Lord, we'll see greater and greater things take place amongst us as they are supposed to, as your word declares that they will. Grant it tonight, Lord. Bless each and every heart. Father, save the backslider. Father, save the sinner. Father, sanctify those that have given their hearts to you. Set them aside, Lord. Take them out of the world. Give them that new spirit. And then, Lord, those that are justified and sanctified, as your prophet said, the one more thing you said was, I'd give you a new heart, as we read in the Old Testament. Change that soul, Lord, that nature of the soul. Quicken that word that's down in the soul. Fill it with the Holy Ghost. Father, may it be a church on fire, ready for your coming, waiting for you to quicken that faith, waiting for the change of the body. Grant it tonight, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for these signposts. We thank you for these markers. Now, Lord, may we keep our focus. May we look for the things that we should be looking for. May we press, Lord, for that mark, that high calling. Father, when we see lives completely live for others and not for ourselves, we know that we're at the door. We're also told that nothing short of perfect love will enter into that place. So, Lord, if there's any funny feelings,
That's all got to be dealt with, Lord. And there's nothing worth holding on to. There's nothing worth setting aside, Lord, for that perfect love to have preeminence. Grant it tonight, Lord. We love you so much. We thank you. Thank you, Lord, for the unity that we sense in this body. We thank you, Lord, for the work that you're doing in this local body. Now, Lord, may each and every one of us say, Lord, what must I do? Where am I at, Lord? Show me where I'm at in your word. Your word will show it to me. Your word is the mirror. And Lord, if you show it to me, it's not to beat me down. It's not to, on the contrary, it's to show us there's some more change that needs to come. And here's what we've got to walk into next. Here's what we got to surrender to. Won't you grant it tonight, Lord? Lord, as I commit each and every one, as the pastor of this church, as I commit each and every one into your hands tonight, those that are here, those that are listening in, we give you praise and honor and glory in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name. In Jesus' name.
We spin.